That can preach. Let that one sink in just a little bit as we talk today about gratitude. And this is part of November, and we're trying to talk about the concept of gratitude, the concept of thankfulness, especially since it's November, Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff, getting into holiday periods, all that kind of stuff. And I am thankful, as I was looking at what my lesson was last week and what my lesson should be this week, and I'm thankful for a better voice, for sure, and I'm thankful for the redo. I was going to call it Gratitude Redux, but I didn't want to get too fancy with it, so anyway, gratitude. And when you look at that cartoon, which I thought was pretty good, But kind of let it sink in a little bit as we talk about gratitude, because last week I was talking about gratitude like this. Now I want to get gratitude more honed in on some stuff. But before I get started, one of the leading experts, and he is a faith person, by the way, who has done his whole professional career has been in the study of gratitude, especially as it concerns spirituality and things like that. He has a definition of gratitude calling affirming goodness in one's life and recognizing that that source of this goodness lies at least partially outside of oneself. So kind of keep that, I'll keep going back to it. Yeah. What else do they know about gratitude? They have researched it and researched and researched it. And what they found out so far is that gratitude has a lot of benefits. Benefits for the body, the mind, the soul. They found out that it will boost your immune system, that it will increase your resilience to stress, it will lower depression, it will increase your energy. Who does not feel good doing something good for someone? And it increases your determination and you sleep better. Okay? Now, just so you think I'm not Pollyanna here, gratitude does not ignore the fact that life can be difficult. Okay? On the contrary, gratitude gives us the opportunity to teach us to look beyond those negatives, because I'm kind of wired to be on the negative side. I know that, and something I work on quite a bit. But really to start honing in on the positives of gratitude. And the thing I'm going to talk about today is talking about gratitude, that it should be indwelling in us. It's a concept that is so indwelling that it becomes relational. Okay? Let me go ahead and... go to Romans 12. Got so much to say, trying to keep it all in perspective here. Romans 12, first few verses. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, kind of keep that tucked away as well. I'm looking at gratitude and trying to get it in my mind, when I'm looking at it, trying to figure out, how do I go from what I call the Hallmark version of gratitude to a more indwelling or a more ingrained version of gratitude? How do I act that out that way? How's my behavior? How's my demeanor? How are those kind of things going on? And so I need to make sure that it is foundational in what I do. And going back to the cartoon, and that's why... How's that? The better? Okay. Good. Thankful for technology. Anyway, I think it needs to be ingrained. And so I was looking at, from last week, looking at Colossians, the third chapter. And I'm trying to weave it in my mind, trying to look at this kind of thing. So Colossians 3, 16 through 17. I'm going to give you a couple of versions of it. The first version is from the Message. Up here you see the NIV version. And so let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. As I was going through the study, I came across the Message version, and I want to read that to you because that one kind of grabbed me. And I kind of like the Message from time to time, but kind of gives me kind of a more casual read on it. And sometimes it makes sense to me. It says, "Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the Message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your heart out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God, the Father, every step of the way." Okay. I thought that was kind of a different version of it, but it kind of gets the point, what I'm trying to get at, and what the Spirit's trying to tell me to do. And so when I look at it foundationally, and when you look at Ephesians 4, it says, make every effort to be in unity, but it also talks about what kind of mindset you need to have. Humility is being the big one on that one. And when you look at some of the foes and some of the negatives of why people don't do gratitude, this is one of them, was the pride, but I'll get to that in a second, is that the humble mind, and they have defined that in research also, which I think is good, because lots of times when I think about humility, lots of times people will say, humility is the opposite of arrogance, or the opposite is pride, but I want something more, so, because I'm a behavioral kind of guy. So they have boiled it down to three concepts. One is that you're self-aware. In other words, you kind of know who you are, you kind of know what's going on about you, self-aware. Second thing is the greatest commandment. Let's read that one. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, starting with 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all, there you go, thank you, with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments." So we got self-awareness, the greatest commandment, take care of people. And the third one, which is the one I struggle with, is being teachable, being open to ideas, being teachable. Because if you don't think you're teachable and you think you got all the answers, that's not really humble. It's just not. Okay. So if I look at that and I'm looking for a foundation and I'm looking at trying to do some ideas, I'm trying to find this mindset, which I talked about in Romans 12. But let me give you a example. If you were here last week, you heard this one, kind of. Kind of. Anyway, so this is a kind of an example how it folds into your system, folds in into your process. So let's say you meet Clyde. So you didn't know I was going to do this to you, did you? You meet Clyde at United, and he's bagging your groceries. Okay. put this into the story here. When the checkout guy in the grocery who swipes and bags your groceries with even an average level of efficiency and friendliness, you say thanks. Thanks for not confronting me with dead-eye rudeness when you could have. Thanks for not working at a snail's pace. Thanks for doing your job up to standard when so many do not. Thanks to the ancestors who cleared this land and set up general stores that became giant stores where you work and I shop, where I can get pumpkin spice Oreos. Never tried them, by the way. And run them down this little conveyor belt, pay for the handy little chip reader machine. Thanks to the forces of the universe that brought us together in this moment for this small exchange in which we both get something we need. Thanks for giving up your time, perhaps even a little bit of your soul, to work this job and help us make the world go round. So I like that story because it kind of weaves in everything. It makes you ingrained in the idea of being thankful for things, being grateful for things like that. And I like that because, get down to the practicality of it all, when they did a research, of course, obviously I'm into research, a recent survey found that while 90% of the people think gratitude makes you happier, gives you a more fulfilled life, less than half regularly express gratitude. Makes me go, what's with that? 90%. Yeah, that's a great thing. Wonderful. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, really good. Do you do it? No, I don't. Okay. So what gets in the way of this stuff? First thing is busy lives, distractions. I got the schedule I got to maintain. I got these things I got to get done. I got to do that, especially this time of year. I know it, you know. Got to get all the stuff for the fixings, for the meals. I got to do this, got to do that, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Just busy. Because where is your mind now? Being busy. Okay. Second thing that could get in the way is negative, what I call negative versus positive. We are primarily, is what I call it, wired to be negative. In the sense that the way our brain works is we look for things that are going to harm us, things that will threaten us, things like that. And that's a negative thing, okay? We're looking for what's going to go wrong, okay? Not about thanking somebody, staying on the positive kind of thing. So we got that going on. Envy. Boy, that is one insidious characteristic. Envy, really bad. Just so, I'm going to read. I had done a study on envy a while back, and I'm not going to label all the things for you, but when the Bible talks about envy, it's always in this cluster. I call it a negative cluster of behaviors. And at one time, I went through all the different scriptures, and I counted how many different, what I call associates of envy were, and I counted up to almost 40. Go figure that one. Anyway. Mark 7, this is a short version, okay? Mark 7, verses 20. You know, before this, Jesus was talking about things. Before I get to 20, he says, you know, nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of man that makes him unclean. And, you know, and the crowd's going like, I don't get it. Disciples going like that. In this version, he says, Jesus says, are you so dull? In other words, yeah, dense like me. Yeah. So, 20, he went on. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from within and make man unclean. So, and you say, well, I don't do that. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about, what is within you? What is the nature of your spirit? What's the nature of your soul? What's ingrained with you? Are you gratitude or are you ingratitude, if we want to use that kind of thing? And when they look at that, as gratitude as a foundation, good behavior, ingratitude, ingratitude is the root of all vice and evil. Think about that one. That better? Okay. So, envy is a bad one. And talk a little bit more about that. But the one that really grabbed my attention was the idea of pride. The arrogance of pride, which got me. Because, once again, to have a good foundation, must have a humble mindset, humble heart, you know, so you can be teachable, okay? Because that's what gratitude... You know, what happened to this guy in the video? He was walking around, cloud over his head, you know, and somebody showed him some gratitude. Then he became grateful and started changing his behavior, something like that. So much that he wanted to play the blind guy and help this other guy out. Kind of keep that tucked away there. So, pride. The arrogance of, and been there, done this, inability to admit that you need people. The inability that you can be dependent on anything. So, what I got out of this study, when you're looking at gratitude and you look at the cartoon, you look at what we talked about, and you talk about God and talk about Jesus and you talk about John 3:16, all these things we talk about, is that gratitude is relational. It's part of your relational connection with people. It's more than just me. It's how I interact with other people as well. So it becomes very relational in me. And this is the part that got me, was is that it's also the opposite of entitled. Because how many times have I said, well, I earned that. You know, I deserve that. I had it coming. And look what I did. Look what I did. Yeah. So, if I can train myself and think about this consciously, which goes back to the self-awareness part, but also being teachable about things and knowing what the greatest commandment is. Once I understand that, can I say, everything becomes a gift. Nobody owes me anything. Everything I get is a gift. Okay? God doesn't owe you anything. He gave His Son through love. It's a great thing. John 3:16. But also, we become part of the vine, which is John 15. We hook up in a good way. So we like that. So I have this harsh word to my notes that says, God owes us nothing. Everything is a gift. So I'm trying to go around my life and trying to look at things and say, that's a gift. That's a gift. I'm not owed that. This is a gift. Even mosquitoes. I haven't figured that one out yet, but okay. So once we come more ingrained and default into that things, all the benefits that come with it, also side benefits, all that kind of stuff, grateful becomes very relational. Go back to Colossians when we were talking about Colossians. This is the New Living Translation of that, of Colossians 3:16-17. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. It's relational. As you saw in that cartoon, you know, this guy's by himself and he's just kind of a
sad sack, you know, moseying down life, not real happy about things, hands in his pockets, all that kind of stuff. And this lady comes up and grabs him by the arm and, of course, surprises him to death. But all of a sudden, he's starting to get it, starting to get the idea that gratitude is more than just me. It's what also I give to other people, because this is what God gave me. And if you follow that along, it really kind of makes a whole lot of sense. So, I jotted down some things that I was thankful for. It's nowhere near the complete list, but I can give you three or four of them that I kind of looked at. I am thankful to Christ for coming down to earth in love to save my soul, to make me part of the vine, as noted in John 15. I am thankful for the Spirit that shows and teaches me the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which makes my life richer. I am thankful for Janine, who loves me, warts and all, and forever supports me. I am thankful for Jeffrey, who loves his family and has a kind heart. He does. And I'm thankful for the Eastside family that sustains me. And of course, you could go on and on and on with this kind of stories, what I'm thankful for. But the whole point is talking about relations. It's talking about the whole idea as if I can get this ingrained in me, because it's more than just November, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all that kind of stuff. It's day in and day out. Can I do this? Can I do this myself? Make sure that I put aside the busyness of life and make sure I'm paying attention to what I'm grateful for. And sometimes you have to think pretty hard about it. I know I do. Still haven't figured the mosquito thing out yet, but okay. Soon or later I will, I guess. But what am I grateful for, you know? And because not only that, but it keeps me much more directed in a positive direction. Once again, through the Spirit type thing. When I look at that stuff. So you look at Colossians again, which we've put up on the screen, and you think through that a little bit, and you add to that Ephesians. We're talking about this in the men's class quite a bit. When it talks about make every effort for unity, what goes before that is, here's a New Living Translation of it. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, or worthily, as we were talking about in class. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowances for others' faults. Because of your love, make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourself together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. Okay. So, the takeaway I have for this lesson, and for myself primarily, is that when I look at the idea of gratitude and being thankful, that it's more than just, oh, I got something. It's, I got something, but what do I give also? We call it pay it forward and all that kind of stuff. But basically, what is gratitude? And the gratitude has to be a mindset. You look at Colossians. We're supposed to encourage each other to be grateful. It's all part of the instruction, all part of our spiritual discipline that we do, and trying to look at that. So if you have a time right now and you have something the Spirit's leading on your heart, there's going to be elders across on the backside. I'll be up here. If you want to go talk to the elders about what you're grateful for, but also if you have some needs also, either one. Because grateful really gives you down that road of trying to be much more positive in what we do, which is really what God's all about. So as you come and sing as we go.